It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Children, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Without any gore, guts, or violence, really, so anyone could watch it. You could bring the family to see this film. It's fairly tame on that scale. It's just a really good chiller.
Why have you opened the curtains?
It wasn't me.
Who was it then?
It was Victor. He's been doing it all night.
He's perpetually worried. He has that look throughout the whole movie. His brow is furrowed and it's like he looks like a little old man.
Well, I don't believe you saw that boy. Believe what you like. You'll soon be begging us to play with you.
And that was Sinister putting upon about, you know, this whole thing about ghosts and there's a ghost in the room. So I think he was actually one of the most believable characters in the film.
Mummy, I won't ask forgiveness for something I didn't do.
You told your brother that there was someone else in the room.
There was.
You're lying.
I am not.
You want to punish me for 3 days? Go ahead and punish me. But these are the facts. I love the defiance of this little girl in this film.
When do you think we should bring all this out into the open?
All in good time, Mr. Tuttle. All in.
They're almost diabolical. It's like we don't know if we can trust them. They're obviously up to something. They're shady. They're keeping secrets.
But it came from directly behind my head and actually gave me like the hair on the back of my neck stood up for a second.
Where did they go?
They just came past here. Didn't you see them?
Which way did they go?
Over there, oh, and down there as well.
Yeah, very atmospheric, I tell you. This movie puts about 10 pounds of atmosphere into a 5-pound bag.
They're everywhere. They say this house is theirs.
I always enjoy any kind of story where a highly religious, pious person has their world fucking turned upside down. That's a huge theme in this one.
We're not
Why
dead.
Do you remain
We're
in this house?
We're not dead.
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 Greetings, my friends. This is Cash Wampum welcoming you to another Horror 101 podcast. We're continuing with the haunted theme. We are still isolating, so this will be another Discord recording session with 60% of us not even on site. We hope all of you listening are healthy and doing well. For this show, we're going to focus on a ghost story from 2001. If you're a fan of gore, this is not going to be for you. There isn't an ounce of blood in this entire film. The movie relies heavily on creepy sets, mystery, and genuine chills to keep you company. And fog. There's a lot of fog in this film. It stars Nicole Kidman and Fionnuala Flanagan. For this 98th episode, we are giving the Horror 101 treatment to Alejandro Amenábar's The Others.
There have been others, to be sure. There are always others, are there not?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this impromptu Tuesday night Horror 101 recording schedule thing.
Yeah, what's up with Tuesday?
Oh, that's my schedule got changed at the last minute. I went to work. Apparently one of my coworkers' husbands got sick and he had to be tested. Turned out to be negative, so I guess that's a good thing for them, but my schedule got completely overturned. So except for this one night off, I would have been working 12 in a row because they had to quarantine all the people who were in the building while that person was there. So
we just lost someone.
Richard Hurd.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Yeah. Okay. From Seinfeld and Star Trek 87.
George, you are looking at the new scout for the New York Mets.
Yeah. Well, I'll remember him from V, of course. He was John in V.
Yep.
Which, that was a huge series back in the 80s.
Back when they still had the voice modulators.
Yeah, they should. They dumped that, like, in season 2 when they did V, the final battle. They kind of got rid of all that stuff, and I missed it because their voices didn't sound alien anymore.
Yeah, well, it was just their way of saving money. They didn't have to fucking do it for everybody's voice, right?
But yeah, Seinfeld's my favorite sitcom of all time.
Like, oh, it's fucking genius.
Oh my god. And everything about life is quotable by Seinfeld. Like, I don't care who you are. It's
Well, speaking of which, I mean, we just lost Jerry Siller as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Losing all the funny people. They happen at threes. Who's next?
Are you trying to keep us out of Del Boca Vista?
I know this doesn't seem like work to any of you, but if you could perhaps conduct the psychopath convention down the hall.
So I downloaded the first 4 episodes of Penny Dreadful. I haven't watched them yet. So has anyone checked it out yet?
Yep.
Yeah, we've watched, I think, the first two episodes, Brian. I think there's five to go, and to be honest, I'm not very impressed so far.
Well, we'll see. It's the same writer as the original series. It's still John Logan, so
I
have hopes.
It's more of a drama.
Well, so was Penny Dreadful.
Oh yeah, but Penny Dreadful had like severe supernatural tones to it throughout, and it had a wonderful gothic setting, and this does not. You know,
well, this is all new, right? This is all new setting, new mythology, so...
I mean, there's Nazis in it. See,
Kyle! Yeah, well, that should make you happy.
Because it's in the 30s, right? See?
So they will show you what they are used to?
Fräulein Ravenwood, let me show you what I am used to.
But no, I'm looking forward to tonight's movie, though. This is going to be good. I'm kind of jazzed, because I haven't seen this one since I saw it in theaters, and I'm pretty sure Mr. Butterworth and I both saw this at... it would have been at the newly built theater at the time, which would have been the Cineplex Odeon there, or Silver City rather. Has anyone else seen it yet? Or
yeah, it's been 20 years since Nude and I saw it. When like this was a DVD thing for us, I'm sure, back in 2001, 2002.
Okay,
Nick.
I have never seen this.
Oh. Wow. Exciting.
I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but actually this one I
don't really like Nicole Kidman.
Really?
Seeing? I'm not the only one.
Like, I'm legitimately trying to think of a movie that she was in where I was just like, hey, Nicole, like, I don't blame her. I'm sure she's just something. She's either just picked movies that I don't like or just didn't, like, I just didn't like the portrayal in the movies that she was in that I did like. Like, I just...
Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut?
He's not a Kubrick fan, right?
No, I even in Eyes Wide Shut, I didn't care for her in Eyes Wide Shut. I watched it for Stanley Kubrick.
I didn't like Eyes Wide Shut.
No, you're not the only one. To be fair, though, I think the only movie I can honestly truly say that I liked her in, was To Die For.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. This movie came in at an interesting time because it did incredibly well at the box office. This movie actually broke the $100 million mark.
Oh, really?
And I think it was a summer blockbuster film. It actually opened the same weekend as American Pie 2. So it had quite a bit of competition, and yet it outperformed. I think at the time, in 2001, people were kind of gone. There was a lull where people had gotten tired of summer blockbusters and big explosion type movies. And this just came out as a scary story that without any gore, guts, or violence, really. So anyone could watch it. You could bring the family to see this film. It's fairly tame on that scale. It's just a really good chiller of a film. But it just has a really well-told story, and it resonated with the audience. Word of mouth spread, and they thought this thing was going to close within 3 or 4 weeks. And it went on for like a month. It stayed in theaters. Like, it just kept going. Word kept spreading, and people kept turning out to see just what was essentially a well-told story. And so it did quite well. It made back tons of money. And for a movie that is essentially shot on location in an old house and doesn't really go anywhere else, it was shot fairly cheaply and made quite a bit of money.
I remember the trailer for it being exceptionally freaky back in the day.
The only thing about the trailer that pisses me off, and I watched it again today because I was going through the special edition DVD, and they had the trailer. The frigging trailer, absolutely in the closing moments, and I won't say what it is, spoils one of the best scares of the film because it's the featured finale of the trailer. So at the end of the trailer, they show one of the really creepy moments, and they play it out. And I'm like, why would you show that in the trailer?
How do you do, children? I'm your new nanny.
Are you going to leave us too?
Why should I leave you?
The others said they wouldn't, but they did, and then it happened. Why have you opened the curtains? It was Victor.
You told your brother that there was someone else in the room.
There was.
That'll do, Anne.
I've seen them too.
Have?
Sooner or later, she'll see them. Then everything will be different.
Set, by the way, it was on an island, right?
Island of Jersey.
In England.
It's the second closest island, the second closest British island to France.
Oh.
It was actually filmed in Spain, in the terms of the film itself, yeah, it was the Isle of Jersey, 1945, I think. This one, she wakes up screaming, too, which is a bit interesting. We don't know if she just had a nightmare or what, but... she also has a bit of a mystery on her hands because I'm sure she's a little freaked out because all the servants in the house have vanished overnight.
So Nicole Kidman wakes up, she's got two young kids, and all of a sudden three housekeepers show up out of nowhere, and she's like, okay, well, former employment just fucking left. They didn't get their paycheck, just left.
You are...
I'm Bertha Mills, ma'am. And this is Edmund Tuttle.
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
And this young lady is called Lydia.
As you can see, the housework has been rather neglected since the servants disappeared almost a week ago.
You mean they just vanished?
Into thin air. No notice, nothing. They didn't even collect their wages. They just left us.
What a strange thing to do.
You'll soon find out there are times when this house is not exactly an ideal home.
Well, historically it does tend to make sense, though. Like, people would do that post-war. They would be going, people who worked in homes like that, would be going around looking for employment later, after the war was finished.
Right.
Especially with a large number of men that died overseas or in the fronts. So, you know, their excuse of, well, we came upon the house and we noticed the, we noticed the advertisement, you know, and we just kind of happened upon it. That makes historical sense.
You'll notice what I'm doing. In this house, no door must be opened without the previous one being closed first. It is vital that you remember this. It's not as easy as it may seem. There are 15 different keys for all of the 50 doors, depending on which area of the house you're in at the time. Let's continue.
Ma'am, there's really no need to show us around the whole house.
Yes! Yes, there is. Because here most of the time you can hardly see your way. It's often difficult to make out if there is a table, a chair, a door, a sideboard, or one of my children playing hide and seek.
What do you mean, ma'am?
Perhaps I should introduce you to the children.
Oh, first I have to ask Nick, did you spot the Star Trek character?
It's Data's mom.
Yeah, it is. It's Data's mom. Well, the android of Data's mom, anyway.
Well, yeah. Potato, potato.
Well, what do you say?
How do you do? How do you do?
How
How do you do, children? My name is Mrs. Mills, but you can call me Bertha if you like. What are your names?
Anne. Nicholas.
Anne and Nicholas. What pretty names.
It's time for their breakfast. Lydia, go to the kitchen and close every shutter.
The doctors were never able to find a cure.
For what?
Their condition. The children have a very serious allergy to light. They are photosensitive and they must never be exposed to any light much stronger than this. Otherwise, in a matter of minutes, they will break out in sores and blisters and begin to suffocate. It would eventually be fatal.
Good heavens.
Xeroderma pigmentosum. And it's basically the inability to deal with skin damage from UV light. So the same thing which you and I, if we were working outside, we'd get a sunburn. That sunburn is because our skin is resisting a lot of the damage. And we will heal that damage, but they are incapable of healing UV damage. And so the same thing that hits them leaps directly to cancer, because all they have are damaged cells that don't get repaired, and it just eventually lead to cancer cells. So they'll get boils and blisters, and apparently it's not a particular, it's a hellish existence. There's a lot of surgeries involved. So the documentary on the DVD talks about a family. Their daughter was born with it, and apparently the chances of getting the disease is 1 in 250,000.
I'll take those odds.
Yeah, and apparently in the United States, there's something like only 150 cases in all of the U.S. It's incredibly rare, and they have to do a number of things like skin grafts throughout their lives, and Paul will hate this, but they have to frequently get cornea transplants. Yeah. But unfortunately, if you're diagnosed with it, chances are you won't survive very long until adulthood. You know, most people who get it are dead before then.
Nicholas. Nicholas.
What?
Look. Why have you opened the curtains?
It wasn't me.
Who was it then?
It was Victor. He's been doing it all night.
You're lying. Don't you tell Mummy?
So I'm a liar, am I?
Yes.
Nude liked the performance of the young boy as well.
Yeah, what I said was he's perpetually worried. He has that look throughout the whole movie. His brow is furrowed and it's like he looks like a little old man.
Victor, come out from behind that curtain so my stupid brother can see you.
Leave me alone.
So you don't want to see him now, eh? You're a cowdy custard. Cowdy, cowdy custard. Cowdy, cowdy custard.
The children deal with the phenomenon first, right? That's usual. Just like Carol Ann and Poltergeist, right? And you could hear the voice of Victor, but every time you heard the voice of Victor, the sister's face is away from the camera. So you don't know if she's making the voice or not. And then all of a sudden, she's like, come on out so my brother can see that you're here. And you're like, is she? And just as you're sitting there pondering, is she playing a trick on him?
Victor touches cheeks, I know you're real.
That hand comes out from the side of the screen and touches his face and he freaks out. I thought that was well done.
Yeah, I agree.
Very well done.
She was fighting at me and I told her to be quiet.
I'm fed up, do you hear me? I am fed up with you!
I didn't do anything!
That girl was a smartass. She was practically asking for it.
What, the daughter?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now you can ask the Virgin for forgiveness.
What? That's not what we agreed.
We didn't agree anything, young lady. Today you're being punished and you'll do as I say.
You can't make me ask the Virgin for forgiveness.
How dare you?
Mummy, I won't ask forgiveness for something I didn't do.
You told your brother that there was someone else in the room.
There was.
You're lying.
I am not.
I liked all the reactions in this. I thought they were completely believable from a family dynamic point of view, and they established Nicole Kidman's character well enough that we know what the stakes are for her. She honestly fears eternal damnation for her kids if she fails as a parent. We feel that weight. And so she doesn't want her kids to lie. So you've got these two kind of opposing forces that are both equally right in their own eyes. And so I do like that kind of dynamic. It does work because we want the little girl to be believed, but at the same time, the mother wants to make sure that her daughter learns, you know, not to lie and proper values. And so they do come to a clash. And I think the little girl could have, you know, I think with a lesser talent, it would have been way over the top or overblown or looked like a petulant tantrum. And I think she was justified in her hatred. And her one response, and I loved it, was when she goes, "You said there was someone in the room." There was. The way she punches "there was so good. I thought, okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
This is the fact. You know, I've told you the truth, and that's the end of it. You know, you want to punish me for 3 days? Go ahead and punish me. But these are the facts. I love the defiance of this little girl in this film.
Would you say the same thing if it was your kid?
Anne, do you remember the story about Justice and Pasta? Children who don't tell the truth end up in limbo.
That's what you say. But I read the other day that limbo is only for children who haven't been baptized. And I have.
It's like, I actually read it. It's only unbaptized children that go to limbo. I'm just like, hee hee.
Again,
spiritual mafia.
She's going to be a lawyer.
I love the defiance on that. It's like, you know what? I don't believe the shit that you're feeding me because I've read better. This is how it is because it's written right here. So, you know, you keep wanting me to read all this shit. Well, what I've read says this. So what you're saying ain't correct. Kind of puts her in her place.
Incidentally, Mrs. Mills, I've had to put up with the noise of Lydia running around above my head. She's been hurtling backwards and forwards as if there were three of her. Would you kindly tell her it's not necessary to kick up quite such a rumpus just to do a little cleaning? I couldn't bear to get another migraine attack.
I'll tell her, Mum.
Thank you.
She leaves and she hears it again. She goes, "That's really quite enough." She gets up to go tell her off. And Mrs. Mills is outside talking to Lydia outside the house, and then it dawns on her somebody's actually upstairs that isn't one of the servants. Because what's nice about that scene is that she's yelling to her daughter because her daughter is being punished, and she's reading from the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can hear the daughter on the stairs. She's there. Mrs. Mills and the other ones out there. Mr. Tuttle's out in the yard doing his yard work. There is no one left. Like, we now know where everybody's stationed when we hear this sound. And that realization shot of hers when the camera tilts upwards as she looks up at the ceiling, I thought that was really... It's just so simple, but damn, it's not effective.
There was someone in the room, and you punished me. Now I don't know what to say.
And I want the truth. Tell me if there is someone upstairs.
There, in that junk room.
My favorite scene was actually earlier in the film where she's going to investigate the who she thinks is the mute girl running around upstairs.
Yeah.
And she goes into that, you know, that off room where everything's covered up.
Oh, with all the sheets.
Well, everything's covered up with the sheets. That was actually my favorite scene.
That was actually a good scene, Paul. I agree with you. It's one of my favorites as well.
And I have to say, when she walked in that room and everything was covered in a sheet, there was one item at the very end of the room, right furthest away from the camera, that looked like it was a shrouded body. And I had memories of when Oculus. We did Oculus, and her looking in the mirror and seeing the shrouded figure moving in the reflection. I was waiting for something like that to happen. Obviously, it didn't, but it brought me back to that film.
There was one part where there's like the like almost an exasperated sigh, but it came from directly behind my head and actually gave me like the hair on the back of my neck stood up for a second.
Where did they go?
They just came past here. Didn't you see them?
Which way did they go?
Over there. Oh, and down there as well. They're everywhere. They say this house is theirs. And they say they're going to take the curtains down as well.
Ma'am, stay calm, please.
I will not stay calm. For 5 whole years during the occupation, I managed to avoid a single Nazi ever stepping foot in this house. And now there is someone here, under my nose, opening and closing the doors.
Ma'am, this is a very old house. Why, the floorboards squeak and the plumbing clanks.
There were voices, I'm telling you.
Mommy, look.
A boy and two women, and they're talking together.
Mommy, look. I did it yesterday. This is the father, this is the mother. This is Victor, and this is the old woman.
What do these numbers stand for?
That's the number of times I've seen them. I've seen the old woman the most.
Oh, God in heaven. Mrs. Mills, go and call Mr. Tuttle. Tell him that we have to search the whole house immediately. Before it gets dark.
Yes, ma'am.
Brian Stewart?
I think my favorite moment of the film, I've got a couple that I really like, but the one that grabbed me and I thought was really well shot, there were two, actually. One is when they're searching the house, and she now admits that, yes, there are people in this house, and she gets Mr. Tuttle, and she gets Mrs. Mills and Lydia to go open every curtain, open all the curtains, open every room. Can't have any shadows or any quarters where something might hide, and they're going room to room in that search. And she enters the one room and walks straight across the room to the other side to get the curtains. And while she's walking across camera, they have that beautiful stationary camera shot as she crosses screen. And in the background, you see those eyes, the shadows. And I thought it was really well framed. And it's an old gimmick. It's almost cliched, but it was just shot really well. And it does grab you for a second. And then when the light comes up, you see that it's just a painting.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, it's an old trick, but damn, did they do it well.
Yeah, whoever lit that did a perfect job. I wonder how many times they had to do that to get it correct. I have to say, I also enjoyed her hearing the piano, because they made a point of saying, this piano was in here when we moved in, make sure the kids don't touch it. And then she hears the piano being played. But we already know that Victor had told the daughter that her father's a pianist, right? So she starts hearing the piano being played, she goes into the piano room, nobody's in there. And then with the whole gimmick with the door, she's trying to keep the door open, door keeps closing, so she's opening it, and she's fighting with a force that's trying to close it while she's trying to open it, and then it just finally slams in her face, sends her on her ass. I always enjoy any kind of story where a highly religious, pious person has their world fucking turned upside down. That's a huge theme in this one.
There is something in this house. Something diabolic.
Ma'am.
Something which is not at rest.
We've all heard stories of the beyond. Now. I think that sometimes the world of the dead gets mixed up with the world of the living.
The
But it's impossible. The Lord would never allow such an aberration. The living and the dead, they will only meet at the end of eternity. It says so in the Bible.
Ma'am, there isn't always an answer for everything.
That's actually going to be my favorite part, was when she's like, I don't even know if limbo exists, because she says, if there was a God, because she's such a preachy preacher.
Big fucking Catholic woman.
Well, we don't know if it's Catholic, but, well, I guess the rosary would give that off. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a great, not to see her fall, but to finally say, come to terms with it, say, yeah, apparently, you know, what is God going to help me with? I mean, not to say that I don't believe in God, but she was so all the way up there, like thinking that God is in everything and it doesn't matter what your experiences are because it's in the Bible. It is so type of thing. So she's kind of changed her way of thinking at the end there.
Now she thinks the house is haunted.
And when do you think we should bring all this out into the open?
All in good time, Mr. Tuttle. All in good time. Speaking of which...
Oh!
It's a haunted household that has the additional element of having the new staff. We don't know what to make of them for half of this movie, really, because they seem to be doing something. They're almost diabolical. It's like we don't know if we can trust them. They're obviously up to something. They're shady. They're keeping secrets. And keeping secrets of a rather dark nature. They're covering up gravestones.
Do you think it's safe to let her go?
Don't worry. The fog won't let her get very far.
Oh, yes, the fog. The fog, of course.
Everything outside is a digital effect.
Oh, really?
It was all process shot. So what they had to do is they would layer it, and they were using chroma key and two or three layers. And they would film the actors in the background against mobile blue screens. So they put a blue screen behind the actor in front of the actual background. And they would also do a second shot of just the background itself. And then they would add a mist or fog effect. So all that fog you saw was digitally created. None of it was actually practical fog. It was all added by computers.
Where are they?
What?
The curtains! The curtains! My children's lives depend on someone has taken the curtains!
I have noticed, ma'am. There's no need for you to raise your voice.
Someone wants to kill my children.
Now, why do you think that the daylight would kill them?
Are you mad? I told you. I already told you the children are photosensitive. The light will kill them.
Yes, but that was before. The condition could have cleared up by itself. I mean, if you never expose them to daylight, how do you know they're not cured?
I am going to find those curtains. And when you have finished helping me hang them, you will leave this house.
That was one of my initial theories when I saw this the first time. I thought the house itself was a magnet for the dead. That after wartime, that all these ghosts were kind of wandering the countryside and they were all finding their ways to their house.
You know something, Mr. Tuttle? I think I've reached the end of my tether. What about you?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
We'd better go and uncover the gravestones.
And so I thought maybe this house, and why it's called The Others, is that this house is kind of drawing in all of these ghosts to kind of torment this woman and her kids. Like, they're all kind of stopping by. Like, this was like, I don't know, a meeting point for spectral activity.
A springboard to the hereafter.
Be strong now, children.
Nicholas, come here!
Mrs. Mills, please don't tell Mummy we've run away.
Don't speak to them!
Why? They're dead!
What?
They're ghosts! Please come here! Nicholas!
They're ghosts. Why aren't they wearing sheets and clanking chains? You said that.
I don't care what I said! Get away from them!
You're always teasing me and telling lies.
As former ghost hunters, we heard this all the time. Sometimes they don't know. They don't know that they're dead. They think that they're still alive. And this story leans heavily on that theory, right? That sometimes you might be dead, but you don't know that you're dead. You think that you're alive and well, but you're really in sharing the reality with other beings.
And suppose we do leave you. Do you think they will?
Who?
The intruders.
There are no intruders.
They took the curtains down. Yes, I assure you it was them. And now they're in there with you and the children.
Waiting for you.
No!
Yes. And believe me, sooner or later, they'll find you.
There's nothing we can do now.
You'll have to go upstairs and talk to them.
I really like that we kind of get to see the other side of the seance from the changeling.
Tell me what happened.
Don't tell her.
If I tell her, they'll leave us in peace.
Mummy!
Mummy.
Why are you crying, children? What happened in this room? What did your mother do to you?
And oh my God, was that seance not the changeling? You know what I'm saying?
It was. It absolutely was.
Why do you remain in this house? Why are you here with the woman channeling the voice and the man reading off what she's writing down? That's such a nod to the changeling.
It is an absolute homage, and it works. It's kind of interesting to see it from the other side of the lens, though.
In the changeling, you can see the presence coming from upstairs into the room. But
which is what the mother does this time, right?
In this film, you actually see the entities in the room corresponding with the medium.
Something about a pillow.
Is that how she killed you? With a pillow?
She didn't kill us!
Children, if you're dead, why do you remain in this house?
We're not dead!
Why do you remain in this house?
We're not dead!
Why do you remain in this house?
I do like their closing too. That last little few, about what, minute and a half, when they're just repeating that mantra to themselves that, this is our house, this is our house, you know, and the way it echoes through the house as the camera just slowly moves through all the empty rooms with their voices echoing. So you get a sense of this actually now coming to realize this is a haunted house, this is where haunted houses come from, and these are the haunting elements, right? So I thought that was kind of a nice touch. And the way they just fade from view through the exterior window as Victor's looking up at the window, and you see him just kind of vanish into the house. I thought that was all really nice kind of finishing touches.
Not just that, but it gives you the idea that a haunting can be not just one generation, but several generations. Like the three housekeepers were taken by tuberculosis in the 19th century, yet they're back in the 40s, right? And then you got these new souls that were their lives were taken in the home, you know, in the mid 20th century, they're there as well. And the older ghost saying, listen, you'll get used to it. Sometimes the living and the dead have to coexist. There will be others. That's just the way it is, kind of deal. So, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if they had brought other spirits from earlier in the history of the house, too, just to kind of like pop up and go away kind of deal.
We can't possibly stay in this house any longer. It is quite clear that these beings do not want us to live here.
We don't know anything about them yet.
Yes, we do. We know the woman went mad, smothered her two children, and then shot herself. That's quite enough. Think of our son.
There's nothing wrong with Victor.
Yes, there is. He has nightmares. He says he has seen that girl, and even this lady has been possessed by her. Please, let us leave this house.
All right. We will leave tomorrow morning.
Oh, thank God for that.
Let us score the film, Nude.
I'll give it a 7.
7 for Nude.
Yep.
Expand.
I haven't seen it in almost, 20 years? We saw it when it first came out.
Yes.
And, and I enjoyed it. Like I said, I knew now, you know, that it was what it was. But back then, when I first watched it, I'm kind of scoring it on back then in my reaction, not knowing until almost near the end of the movie that it was, that they were not, I guess we've been spoiling it anyway, that they were not alive, so... But yeah, no, it's that I love the house. I love the cinematography. I love the scenes, the big, huge. I mean, just the whole set, right? It was beautiful.
I've seen them too.
Have?
Yes.
Then why don't you tell my mother? Then maybe she'll believe me.
Or thinks your mother doesn't want to hear.
Brian Stewart.
You know what? I am actually going to go and match the 7. I think it's a movie that's a bit too patient. I'm all for a slow burn. This is the slowest burn. This is a burn slower than Legend of Hell House. I think what saves it for me, cinematography is huge. I love the look of the film. It's gorgeous. And I like the exterior shots. I like that they have found a very subtle and good use for CGI and horror. And it's not for fake blood. I think they blend it all beautifully together. The kids sell it for me. Their performances are spot on. I thought they were great. And I liked Mrs. Mills. I thought she kind of reminded me of a bit almost like Ruth Gordon in Rosemary's Baby. How, you know, you don't know if you can trust her or not. She seems friendly and nice, but at the same time, she certainly seems to have her secrets and ulterior motives. And so you don't know if you can trust her or not. And I thought the mystery of the caretakers is really the only thing that pushes much of this film forward. But overall, I mean, once you know the payoff, is it still a good watch? I would say sure. But it's a long road to such a kind of predictable ending.
This letter should have been collected and delivered to the newspaper 5 days ago. It's an advertisement for servants. Since it was never published, would you mind explaining to me what you're doing here?
Nick, score it!
You're just waiting for me to shit on this thing, aren't you?
Go ahead!
Anyways, okay, so yeah, scoring it, I'm gonna give it 6.
6?
Yeah, I liked the cinematography. I like some of the atmosphere, the sound design, actually. I think I like probably more than most. I do like the way a lot of it was shot, but yeah, it was slow to the point of being boring. And then once I figured out what it was, I kept waiting for the reveal. Like, maybe they'll do something in the reveal that's actually going to, you know, wow me. And then, like, I like the idea of the seance, but it was just... It took so long to get it, even at the point where the kid, you know, it's just, and then after that, like, after the reveal, it was just even slow after that. Like, it just, I don't know, I just kept waiting for the movie to end. And, like, Nicole Kidman did have some good moments, but I just thought she felt kind of, like, inconsistent. It's like the knob either had a 2 or 11. Like, there was very little in between. Like, she went from being subdued, and I realized maybe that's what they were going for, but it just didn't work for me. Like, I didn't get the idea that she was slowly becoming unhinged and this big revelation. It was just, I don't know, like, it was just all over the place. Like, I legitimately, like, I felt bad, but I got bored quite a few moments in this movie.
That is enough.
Can I say something?
No.
Why not?
Because you can't.
At Nefarious Paul B.
Give it a 7 as well. I'm kind of grading it the way Helen did as well, based on my first viewing of it, not so much anything, you know, after the surprises have been given. Performances, I thought, were all excellent. Surprisingly enough, the kids were very good, which is really rare. You know, usually kid performance is terrible. Unlike Nick, I actually didn't mind Nicole Kidman in this. Couple good scares. I mean, absolutely zero gore. So anybody going into it thinking there's gonna be gore in this, there's none. I actually like the twist, unlike Sixth Sense, where I did see the ending coming. I didn't see the ending coming the first time I saw this. So I thought that was really well done. I generally enjoyed it.
You want to frighten us. You want to get us out, me and my children. You've wanted to take over this house ever since the first day you arrived.
I'll give it a 7.5. Is it a good ghost story? Absolutely. What I like about it is that it turns it on upside down. It gives you the reverse. Like, we've all seen human beings dealing with an unknown presence. But what would happen if you were the ghost, not knowing that you were dead, dealing with the unknown presence, which was real people in the real world? Would it be so much different? That's what this film asks of you, and I think it does that very well. Is it slow? Certainly. Are there good performances? Yes. I love a one-setting film, which it does that correct. There's not an ounce of sunshine. It's either nighttime or a foggy day, like an old Hammer horror film kind of deal. Sound was good. There was some good chills in it. A good nod to The Changeling, which I thought was in good taste. Do I want to watch this film again tomorrow? No. Can I recommend it? Absolutely.
The intruders are leaving, but others will come. Now, sometimes we'll sense them. Other times, we won't. But that's the way it's always been. Ma'am.
My friends, there you have it. Episode 98 featuring The Others, starring Nicole Kidman. This film earned over $200 million, making it one of the highest grossing horror movies of all time. It was going to be difficult to cover this movie and not spoil the ending, and if you haven't already seen The Others, then we apologize. But in all honesty, we did leave out several key elements from this film that will still make for an enjoyable first viewing. The setting, the acting, and the story itself is certainly worth your time. For those of you who have the patience for a good ghost story, we hope you check it out. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears. Nick, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good, good. Give me a few sentences just to make sure your levels are good.
Do you sell seashells by the seashore?
Does she now?
Yeah, I guess.
And for how much?
I don't know. I need about $350.
$350? I gave
that Loch Ness monster $1 the other day.
Oh, damn it, woman. Yeah, obviously. No, Loch Ness Monster gonna keep coming around looking for a tree, Vinny. You give him $1. Damn,
woman. Damn, $1. I gave it down. I gave it to an out of the sin. Hey, tree fitty.
What's a tree fitty?
$3.50.